Welcome to the Too Rich to Miss podcast, a place that is committed to educate, motivate, and inform the Black listener about ways they can live their best lives now using the skills and potential that already lies within, discussing topics relevant to the unapologetically woke Black population. Do you know who you really are? Let's go. Warning, the information you are about to hear may be offensive to certain listeners. Unfiltered truth on the way. If the truth offends you, I suggest you stop listening now. Welcome to the Too Rich to Miss podcast. I am your host, Richard Hawks, and I am joined by my guest and co-host this week, my wife and mother and educator and all of that, and strong Black woman, et cetera, et cetera. My wife, Sharice.
Hey, y'all.
All right, and this week, this episode, episode 10, we are going to be talking about homeschooling from a Black perspective. Now, as we've mentioned in one of our earlier, in one of the first episodes that was put out, that we did homeschool, we homeschooled both of our children, and our oldest is going off to college on a scholarship to play basketball. One of the fun facts that we might not have, that we might have kind of breezed across and didn't really dig off into too much, was that educationally speaking, a big part of his scholarship was academic. The majority of his scholarship actually was academic. And the majority of his education was homeschooled. And when he went from being homeschooled into the private school sector that we put him into, it was really just for exposure first, and education was important, but his quality of education was already kind of being taken care of and handled. So we wanted to kind of talk about the homeschooling perspective, the homeschooling from a Black perspective, because it's very important that we educate our own. Because there's a lot of times where there's a misunderstanding, and quite frankly, white people might not just know, they just don't know what to do with us, you know, and all the time we don't fit into just one specific mold. As Black people, we are a very diverse race of people within ourselves, you know. I mean, every Black person listening to this podcast is different, you know, in one way, shape, form, or fashion, and we aren't all educated the same, and sometimes some of us have, you know, learned differently. Some of us learn quicker than others. Most of us learn faster than others. Some of us, you know, don't learn as fast as others, and, you know, and there's just some differences. So homeschooling provides quite a few things, and I kind of wanted to just kind of jump right in and go through a few of the basic things, and just kind of start right from the top. So, Sharice, what would you say homeschooling is to you? In your opinion, what is homeschooling? I mean, obviously we can know that it's providing school at home, but what is it to you?
Well, homeschooling to me is just that, just being able to educate my children and their interest. That's one of the things that I believe that we miss in the public schools, because it's not tailored to the interest of the child. It's tailored to the interest of the system. So homeschooling to me has been able to actually just focus in on the interest of the children.
Oh, okay, cool. Yes, I totally agree. Yeah, and that's a good thing to bring up, versus the public school aspect. And also just from the aspect of our classroom size, most public schools have pretty large class sizes, and, you know, and that can be a factor in the, quality of the education, as well. And I wanted to kind of run through a few statistics and, little, intriguing, facts, that I ran across in the midst of, my research for this particular episode. I kind of want to start at the top. And these are research facts quoting from you here today, just for informational purposes, is from the National Home Education Research Institute. This article was by, full disclosure, this article was by Brian D. Ray, a PhD and a Caucasian gentleman, I believe, just for full disclosure. So some of the facts that he's talking about is obviously not going to be totally from a black perspective. He's talking from a general perspective. But as far as us is concerned, this is something that's really good for us as black people, because we really should be educating our own. And as some of these facts are going to prove and state right off the top, it's getting to be kind of popular among our population, because it's something we should do. And there's a lot of times where we kind of get miscategorized as well, and we'll talk about that a little bit later as one of the important reasons why you should be homeschooling your child. But a couple things right off the top. There are over 2.3 million homeschool students in the United States. That's kind of all around. And this article was written in July of 2019. And it says, there were an estimated 2.3 million in spring of 2016, and this was up from one estimate of about 2 million home-educated children in grades K through 12 during the spring of 2010 in the United States. Okay, it appears that homeschool population is growing, is continuing to grow at an estimated 2 to 8% per annum over the past few years. Okay, and then we kind of go down, demographically speaking, a wide variety of people homeschool. Everything from atheists, Christians, Mormons, conservatives, liberals, libertarians, liberals, low, middle, and high-income families. Black, Hispanic, white, parents with PhDs, GEDs, and no high school diploma. So, to all of the people who might be saying, yeah, this is great, but I am not a teacher or an educator, or I'm not really educated, that doesn't matter. You don't have to be a fully college degreed educated person to homeschool your kids. More on that here in a moment. But one fact that I did find to be intriguing is that it states that about 32% of homeschool students are Black, Asian, Hispanic, and others. So there's still and that's just all the non-white. And I was reading somewhere else that we're actually in about that 10%, well, 15 to 16% range. Do you know what the range is of Black people that homeschool?
No, I don't. Not currently.
Okay, but but in the midst of it all, what do you think so far? Interesting?
Very interesting. Very interesting, and I'm glad to see that more people of color are taking this route with their children. I think it's great.
Yep, and here's another intriguing thing I found, we can definitely talk about this for a second. Taxpayers spend nothing on most homeschool students, and homeschool families spend an average of $600 per student annually for their education. It feels like we spend more than $600 on them per school year. What would you say? Is it about that?
It's about that.
It's about that?
It's about that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
That's about right.
Now let's talk about the cost for a second, because I know a lot of people might be thinking, okay, well, yeah, this is a great idea, but how much does it really cost and what does it entail? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the cost, and then we'll go into talking about some of the legalities and some of the more overview of the details of getting into doing it. What do you say about the, go over and talk about the cost.
Well, cost ranges, because some states will provide their own form of homeschooling or schooling at home through their state education. So you can do that, and that will cost you nothing. That is absolutely free. It's a matter of having a login to a website, and then all their classes are loaded for them, and they just go through and just complete the courses. So some states have it for free, literally free.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that can be a no cost.
Oh, okay. So depending on the state where they're located, Their state may have this free option that's available.
Yes, they may have that
Oh,
option for
okay.
them.
Oh,
I've
okay. Well,
seen
that's.
that. Yes. Also, as far as we're concerned, when I initially started, I did do books. I did books for all grades. I had three students at the time, and it was costly. But the books were for the year. So you may spend an average of maybe $200 to $400 for a whole curriculum, and then but that would be for the year. It's best to get the curriculums for the year. And so they and also you can find them boxed already. There's a lot of companies that do a whole series with all the core classes in one package, and that can run you $400 to $600. But everything is there, from the videos to the workbooks, actual textbooks, to the activity sheets, and everything is provided for you, and that's all you would have to purchase. Anything other than that would be on your own if you wanted to do field trips or extracurricular things. We did sports the whole time. And so yeah, it can be the average cost that they're saying in the article is accurate. And then, like I said, it can get to be a little bit more depending on what you choose to put your kids on, what kind of path you choose to put them on.
And also, that's yeah, good, definitely. And also, let's kind of put out there that there is, which I did find to be interesting as well, is there's a whole community, and a whole community of people that actually support you as well, right?
There is. Most cities have what they call co-ops. And co-ops is when other home educators get together maybe once a week. It could be at a local church, a library, a community center, and whomever is the head of it or the manager of the actual co-op group is the person that will set all this up. They will partner with people in the community to get the space to have these. And what happens is it's just like an actual day where all the students come and they break things up into subjects. You can have science, social studies, a math class, an arts and crafts, which can range from art to drawing to sewing to whatever, some elective kind of things. So that can be a co-op group.
Okay, so they're not alone. So somebody who may not be strong in math can actually get a part of one of these group, a co-op group, and they can actually have their child with another child and another parent who is strong in math
Absolutely.
to be able to help them. Or if they're one of those people who they're like, well, I got a teenager and I didn't do good in algebra, and now I got to teach them algebra. There, we both gonna fail.
Right. Absolutely. The community, you also can, I suggest you can do that to team up with other homeschooling families that can maybe compensate where you're not so good at in math and such. And there's also other things that you can do to kind of help your child if you're not, that strong in that subject. But definitely the community is something that you can also network with for, like I said, these co-ops provide science and social studies and other things that you may not want to do, but it does, they will be exposed to it, have a hand in it. And I think it's a really, really good thing to come together and connect with other families because you can feel like you're by yourself. And I come from a family where we were public school the entire way. And so when I began to do it, it was a lot of pushback from my family about it because this is just not the way we've done it. So of course, no one is educated in it, so they couldn't get it. They couldn't understand it. But you're not by yourself. You will be, be able to connect with the community. And then depending on the area too, might as well just put it out there. Some areas are going to, most areas are going to have more Caucasian people doing this. And when I started doing it, I think it was maybe three African American families. So we really had to kind of get together outside of the co-op groups because it was just more of them than it was of us.
And also, in the midst of that, I want to just kind of sneak in right here just for the sake of putting this out there, because I discovered a website of black homeschoolers. There's a black homeschool education association that are actually getting us together, and they have links to all the different states and all of that that you guys can check out. And I'll put make sure to put a link to it in the description of this podcast as well. It's www.nbhe.net, and it stands for National Black Home Educators. I was glancing around their site, and they have a lot of good information, and they have links about co-ops and all type of things going on as well, because we're here in Virginia, and you did the Virginia homeschoolers education.
Yes, Virginia has an actual organization with a legal team. They have a lot of resources. They have a lot of ways that you can connect. They have a convention every year that you can attend and get a lots of good information and help and assistance with things. And I've never been to the convention, but they do have one every year. It's really, really huge. I think it's a weekend long. And you really can go and network and meet a lot of people. And they have speakers, and they break off into little groups where you can attend certain topics with different people who's been doing this for years, some veterans in here. And also they have swap tables where you can get curriculums, you can buy books, you can get merch, I think they call it now, but a lot of things. You can get t-shirts and wristbands and things like that to educate and promote homeschooling.
Okay, let's talk about curriculum for a second. Now, generally speaking, would you say that it was difficult to create a curriculum that the school system agreed with, or how exactly does all of, I know it's state by state specific, but what was your experience here in Virginia? Would you say that it was difficult, or?
No, actually I began the homeschooling in North Carolina. So that state was very homeschool friendly. When I began, they have a store in Raleigh, North Carolina that provided curriculums, and you can go in and get books and supplies for projects and things like that. They're very limited with that, but it was a place where someone, actually the lady who owned it was a former homeschooler. She had homeschooled all her children. Of course, they were grown and gone, but she started to collect books, and then she opened up a store and provided a place for homeschoolers to get their curriculums. Choosing a curriculum was the hardest. I believe I spent over 4 hours in there just trying to see which one is good. And when you're not used to doing that, it can be a very difficult and challenging task.
So as far as choosing a curriculum, let's say someone is a little bit more educated about their child and they know that their child has a different learning style. Is it curriculums by learning style, or is it how are you picking?
Well, in the beginning, if you've been public school, you have an idea of how schooling goes. And if you're not been unschooled, then you go with what you know. So you already know that there are certain classes that you think the child should have. And those four cores are math, science, social studies, or history, and a reading and language, depending on the age. So those were the ones I was looking for. And I went through several with my daughter because she was young, and there are certain things that appeal to a young child, such as colors, animals. She liked sweet stuff, so like ice cream cones and cartoon characters, monkeys. She loved animals, so we had monkeys and things like that. So I ended up choosing a curriculum called Horizons Math. And Horizons, at her level, was first grade, had a lot of colorful pages. They were full of animals and fruit and ice cream cones and things of that nature, which she liked looking at, and it was a motivating factor to do the work. As crazy that may sound, but that's what you appeal to children, the way, you know, what they like at that phase in their life, and that's what that curriculum did.
So in other words, it allowed you the option and the freedom to be able to cater, to be able to cater the curriculum and the materials that you were going to be using to the specific needs, likes, and desires of your children, which is something that, which is, I guess, is a point that I'm trying to kind of make for anyone. This is not something that you can do in a public school system. You know what I mean? You can't go in there and say, well, you know, well, my child likes colors and, you know, and sweets and fruit, so can we get a different book than the rest of the books? It's, you know, that's not something that can happen. So in other words, the point here is homeschooling is very customizable, which is one of the things that some of us need, which could actually go through, and speaking of which, can kind of go into one of my next, let's kind of back up a little bit. So let's just answer this question, even though we kind of already have. Can anyone do it?
Absolutely. Anyone can do this. It's not, it doesn't, you don't have to be, you know, have degrees and things like that. You can have the PhD. You can do, or not have an a degree at all, or any type of diploma at all. And because now we have more of a variety of ways to home educate. There are curriculums that do all the work for you. It's already planned out. They have curriculums that even you can read as a teacher to your child. I mean, there's a whole script that you can do. There's curriculums that provide the videos if you don't know how to do it. There's videos within curriculums that will show you step-by-step how to do math problems. There are videos to show you how to do step-by-step science projects. There are videos to show you how to do, when in language, they're doing these breaking down of sentences and things like that. There are ways and videos and things within curriculums now that they just do, they've done the work for you.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's definitely very user-friendly.
Yes.
So it's more so about just us getting out there and really digging in to do it. So the person who didn't graduate high school but can read themselves, they can do this.
They can do it.
And with the support, and they can gather in and go through the NBHE.net, and they can look up their local state and get with their local state homeschool association and and dig in and be a part of the Black community that educates our own.
Absolutely.
Now, let's also kind of go into dig into, well, first, let me actually go here before I go there. I want to talk about academic performance for a second. Because I know what somebody might out there be thinking, well, okay, well, we can do all of this, but what is going to be the quality of their education? How are they going to be able to compete? Are they going to be able to be, you know, on the next level and have a good quality education? Because someone might be saying, well, okay, well, yeah, the public school is not all that great, but I'm not confident that if I homeschool them, it will be sufficient. So let's put some statistics out there for you. Academic performance. The home educated typically score 15 to 30 percentile points above public school students on standardized academic achievement tests. Now, granted, we could have a whole podcast about standard achievement tests and why they are not equal and how they kind of are biased against us as Black people. But all things aside, even when people are homeschooled, we still score better on their tests that are kind of geared not towards us. But anyway, we'll leave that point to the side. All right. The public school average is the 50th percentile. Scores range from 1 to 99. Okay. So we're, you know, 15 to 30 percentage points above that. All right. Homeschool students score above average on achievement tests, regardless of their parents' level of formal education or their family's household income. All right, so this is a statement to the person that has no degree, and the person that has no degree, let's see, the person with no degree, the person that's living in the worst part of town, and has the smallest possible job, you too can homeschool your child get them into college, and they can come up. Well, you, depending on which way you want to go, which that's a whole nother conversation. But you can homeschool your child, educate them, and they can be educated to go into the next phase of life, to bring your family out and go to the next level and start to build generational wealth. You know, because the first step to getting generational wealth is to have educated kids that can go out and be able to produce and be positive citizens, whether it be really highly productive in the corporate world or highly productive in the entrepreneurial way. Okay, now let's do one more here. Home educated students typically score above average on the SAT and ACT tests that colleges consider for admissions. Now, here's the thing that's a little fun fact, real life fun fact about our situation. When our son went and took the SAT, his SAT combined with his grade point average is what pretty much got him over. He applied to 10 colleges. All 10 colleges accepted him. 5 of those 10 offered him some type of scholarship. And the bulk of his schooling was homeschooled. He went into private school in his 10th grade year, right? 10th grade year? 11th. His 11th grade year. So he only did, 2 years of actual private schooling. And when he went in, took the test, the little entrance test that they have, and no problems. Didn't have any problems dealing with any of the teachers. He had a problem in statistics, which everybody across America has problems in statistics. some of the smartest people that I talked to said, oh my God, that statistics was tough. So other than that, he's I said all of that to say, homeschooling actually does work, and there's a big support system around. And the point of this podcast talking about homeschooling today is to put a positive and educated look on homeschooling, and just to let people know in our community that it's not something that you should shy away from. And just because you didn't go to college and graduate from college doesn't mean that you can't properly educate your child. And newsflash, they are not teaching Black history in schools. So there's a ton of Black history that you can just slide right in there to teach and educate your student, your child, because we need to know about our culture. And just personally, random thought here, I just think the more that we are educated about who we are and where we come from and about our true value as a people, then our children will start to value themselves more and take more pride in themselves and come out to be better citizens, which is going to help to benefit us and our families going forward. Now, speaking of us and our children, let's go to this next one that I thought was really interesting. Let's talk about for a quick second social, emotional, and psychological development, or socialization. Because I know that, and this is something that I used to hear from ours, they would talk about they didn't want to have a prom at home, and they didn't think they were going to have any friends, and they were really concerned about their social life. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think they socialize a little bit too much in public schools, obviously. We have a lot of things that go on in these schools. You have a lot of kids from different walks and different perspectives, and which is why you have different behaviors that go on in these schools. So socialization is what you make of it. We were very active at one time in our church, which we had, built a circle of friends there. Both of them were in sports, so they had their circle of friends there. We have pretty big family, so we have a lot of cousins and things like that. We get together with, especially holidays and things like that. And now we have social media, so where everybody can stay connected on a daily basis. So socialization has never been a problem for us because they were already had a circle before I started to homeschool. Now, I just want to go back a minute to the scores real quick and give my theory on why they score higher and why they have more acceptable rate in colleges and things like that. When you're in public school and you have to do things the way they want you to do it because it's all a system and it's all standardized. When you homeschool, you don't have all the distractions. You don't. So when you go to a, I know I when the kids were in public school and I would go to the class, it'd take the teacher almost 10 minutes just to settle a class down. So when you're homeschooling, we don't have all of that. It's get to it. They knew what time to be where we need to be, and we get it to it. And they were able to study and get their studies done without all the noise and all the extra talking and all the extra distractions from a teacher to another child who may be disruptive and things like that. So their learning is not interrupted. They were able to focus on what they're doing at the time they're doing it without all the other things around them. And I think that plays a part in the level of the quality of education because you don't have all those things. So I think that's one of my theories as to why they are able to score higher and grasp things more quicker because of the environment that they are learning in. So that's very, very, very important. And I know I used to put on soft music when they were reading and doing their work too, so it could stimulate the mind and also keep the spirit calm as well.
Absolutely. And that kind of goes back into knowing your child, which does kind of lead into my next segment here, my next question. Knowing your child, and let's say there's a parent out there who says, you know what, this is really good and this is good information. This is, I can get with that. But my child has special needs. You know, my child is, let's just say my child is ADHD, right? Let's say that they're in that category. Let's say that the child might be autistic. Let's say, or any other myriad of things. What about a special needs child? Can a parent homeschool their special needs child, or what are your thoughts in that regard?
I would say yes. A parent can homeschool a special needs child. Depending on the severity of the need, they can definitely homeschool their child. If there's the need is severe, or the autism, or the whatever the special need problem is, then there are also communities that you can link up with and connect with to help with things, but they don't have to get into a system. And special needs is so broad that we would really, you know, just sit down and talk about what special needs your child have. Then, you know, we could decide if homeschooling is the best thing or maybe another program separately where they focus on that. So that's very important as well, because in public schools, they group them all together, and I just seen in the schools that it's really, really not a good fit for most kids.
And speak about that for a second. How important is it for, even if, let's kind of go this way for a second. Let's say you got a parent, for some reason, they just can't do it at all. How important is it for the parent to be knowledgeable of and on top of what's going on in the public school system? How important is it for them to be aware?
If they can't, or if they not able to homeschool?
Right.
It's very, very important. If you must do public school, I suggest that you get involved and be the most involved parent in the school, meaning on the PTA, you're at school functions, and even I did pop-ups where you just pop up at a class, unexpected by the teacher and your child, and just see what's happening. And just be observant with the staff, be observant with the teachers, the superintendent, talk with the principal, talk with the assistant principals, get to let them know who you are. that you are a concerned parent and let them see you up there. And once people begin to see that you coming up there, you're going to be there, you will come in at any time, I have seen that your child may be treated a little bit different, not in a bad way. But it also supports the teachers because we do have some students that are very disruptive and they don't have the support from the parent. But if you're going to be that parent that's going to, you have to do this public school thing, then I just suggest that you be very active in everything that goes on with the school. Volunteer. That's another thing that can help out. You can help out in the office. You can help out in the classroom, you know, and it's really a twofold. You're really helping a teacher, you know, and you're really helping your child being there, and they won't show out if you're there. So you're helping the teacher too, and then showing your child that you gonna be there to monitor and make sure that things are going the way it needs to go.
Right. I mean, and this also kind of goes in line with just the people that do have to be, once again, and this is kind of talking to the section of people who feel like for some reason it's not for them, they just can't do it, or whatever the case may be, get with some other parents that are like-minded like you, you know, and stay up on these public schools. If your child is going to be there and you know that that's in your situation, because everybody's situation is different. If the best situation for the moment for you is to have your child in public school, at the very least, get involved, just like Sharice was saying, get involved and make sure that it's the best possible situation for your child that it can be. And this is a Black podcast, and we talk from a Black perspective. And most of the time, our schools are the most underfunded. Our schools are the ones who have the worst books or the most outdated books. You know what I'm saying? Ours are the ones who usually have the teachers that are overworked and so, so, so far, far, far underpaid. You know what I mean? So if your child is going to be there and you're not in a situation where, you know, where you're like us and you can homeschool them, and if you do have to put them in, you can put them in a private school. You know, everybody can't do that the way we did that. And even when they got into private school, there was still consistent efforts and conversations and, okay, what's going on today? All right, what did they say today? Why did they say that? Okay, well, okay, who was that teacher? What's his name? What's that? You know, so there was still involvement so that they knew that there was a concerned parent. And that's what these public schools need to know, that there are concerned parents. Because there are children that aren't going to be able to be homeschooled, or then there are children whose parents aren't going to be able to afford to put them into a private school. You know, and until we, kind of get around to putting more Black schools in our neighborhoods that are quality, that can actually give some grants and some quality free education to the people in these neighborhoods that really need it, who aren't able to because of circumstance, just out here going to get it, because that's where a lot of us are. A lot of us are out here going to get it, and we're so busy going to get it, you don't have time to homeschool because it takes away from your time going to get it. And if you're a single parent, you're the only one going to get it. I mean, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. And that's what you're supposed to do. So, you know, it's all about we have to be better at working together, especially when it comes to our children, and especially when it comes to their education. So for those that can't homeschool, get very involved with your public school and make sure, at the very least, you make sure that your child is getting the best that they can possibly get from out of there. And I also encourage to make sure that you give them some other information outside of, in addition to their education that they're getting in school. And give them extra books. I mean, just like we're in the information age, there are some great channels on YouTube with providing good information that, you know, I'm not going to plug anybody right this minute, but there are good information of channels out there where you can get some good historical information to help to teach your child about our culture. And that, you know, I mean, if you Google it, there's a plethora. So we don't even have to plug anybody. You can find the one that works for you. But the point is, for us to educate our children as best we can, and that this is a viable option, and there are a lot of highly educated people in our community, and a lot of people that are successful entrepreneurs in our community that we can balance our time out to be able to invest that extra time in our children, right or wrong.
That's correct. Yep, that is right.
Now, something that we didn't really speak about that I definitely think is important, this is and I know the situation here, but I want to go over a few of these reasons and motivations for home educating. Now, I want to go through a couple of these bullet points, and as those of us in the Black community can relate to everything I'm about to say here. First one, customize or individualize the curriculum and learning environment for each child. All of us can go without saying that our children are different. One learning style may be different from another learning style. And the beauty of why Sharice was speaking earlier about being in the area of the curriculum so long is because they have so many different learning styles in the books that are available for you. Now they got online curriculums that are available as well. So there's such a variety of things that you can do. And in school, in a public setting, things are kind of fixed. I mean, you can't usually go in and disrupt their style just for your one child and they got 29 other students in there. Next one, accomplish more academically than in schools. That is definitely a true statement.
That is. And just to put a pin in that, when you're at homeschooling, you are focused on the core classes, depending on, of course, the age and the grade. You don't have to do all the extra fluff stuff that will tie a whole day up. Because I think with us, it was only maybe 3 hours to 4 hours of instruction per day. Because we didn't have lunch time. We didn't have like a PE time because they were in sports. So they did it, you know, in evenings with practices and such. We didn't have all the extra stuff that kids didn't really care about, such as the arts. My kids did not care about drawing and art, things like that, so we didn't do it. So music, music was something that they grew up on, it's what they love to do, yes. But I taught it from a Black perspective. We didn't do the Bach and Beethoven and stuff like that. And that's not what they were interested in. We taught it from a Black perspective and dealt with people of our culture as it relates to music. So when you're doing education at home, it's not all day. It's not. So you can accomplish more academically because you have the time to do it. And it's not all the other stuff, mediation, whatever that is in schools where your child who's not doing well in the subject goes off to another class. So your 6 hours is cut and you can just focus on the core classes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the next one that we're going to go through that we can all agree on, especially from the Black perspective, enhance family relationships between children and parents and among siblings. Did you want to talk about that
one? Oh, yeah, that's a big one. That is a huge reason. And for us, it has really made us very, very close. I'm very close to my children. They're with me every day. You learn more about them when you spend time with them. When you're in public school, most of their time is spent away from home. It's spent at that school, you know, so you only come home between 4:30. You have dinner. You talk about things. And this next time is, you know, pretty much getting prepared for the next day. And that could be, you know, shower, bath, and you have a little talk time and then they're going to bed. But they're at school, they leave home. Maybe now I've seen kids at a bus stop as early as 6:30 in the morning and they don't get home till after 4. So most of the time is spent away. When you're homeschooling, they're with you every day. You have an opportunity to see them, watch them grow in every phase. I remember many times my son would grow and Richard would be, Malachi, you grow again. I mean, you know, so you get to see the growth. Physically, it's amazing versus you realize when you have to buy clothes, that they've grown. You know, we can actually see the growth in your children, and we talk a lot. You get to instill things with them without the distractions, without the others, whispers from their peers. You are the most influential person for your child when you have them with you all the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Totally agree. And the next one we kind of spoke about already, but we'll just kind of touch on it real quickly. Provide guided and reasoned social interactions with youthful peers and adults. Now, for the most part, we did that through sports. But as a family, we're a close family unit. So there's always a family not too far away in one way, shape, form, or fashion. But in that regard, it definitely helps to kind of go into the other point, where it enhances your relationships and it provides you with the extra time to be able to build onto those relationships as well, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. Now, and his next one is definitely something for that everybody can agree with, especially in this day and time. Provide a safer environment for children and youth. Because of physical violence, drugs and alcohol, psychological abuse, racism. Surely we don't, black people, what we know about racism? And improper and unhealthy sexuality associated with institutional schools.
Wow.
All right. Now, let's go back and unpack that one for a minute. All right. Physical violence. Now, it goes without saying that we can't protect our children from everything, but there does come a time when you want to make sure that, well, let me go back and rephrase that. We all want to make sure that we protect our children from the things that we know that we can protect them from, you know, and we always want to do the preventative things that we know that we can do for them. For example, if it's cold outside, we know we're going to make sure they have on a coat. And I mean, it just kind of goes without saying. So from physical violence, it's the same thing. If you're homeschooling your child, you know what's going on in your home. When that child goes off to school, in this day and age, we can say that it's possible that they could be shot. Literally. There was an article in the paper most recently, actually today, talking about two kids who got shot at school in California. And the recording of this, I'm going to get the date right on this episode for all of y'all who heard me get the wrong date in last week's episode, November the 15th. It's the recording of this one. And this is when those students were killed in school. And that's, and unfortunately, it's sad to say in this current day and time that it is quite common, unfortunately. It's not uncommon right now for children to be killed in high school by other children. It's, you know, but, you know, I mean, and of course, the bulk of these shootings are done by a lot of white kids. And I warned you before we started the podcast. And that's just the truth. I mean, a lot of these shootings are done, these mass shootings are done by white kids. You know, when we have beef with someone, the black people that I know, they don't go to shoot up the whole school. They go to shoot the person they specifically have an issue with. And shooting people is wrong. But, but let's be for real. We as black people, we don't have the problem of mass shooting people. I think I can only remember one black serial killer. And that was a DC sniper. Yeah, we don't have any other black serial killers other than him. So it's safe to say that that it's safer for us to be homeschooled. We are a lot safer being homeschooled, because in most cases, and of course, we're not talking about the extreme situations where there's gang violence and all this other stuff, You know, but let's be for real. For the most part, you know, our kids are safer at home. Now, psychological abuse, drugs and alcohol goes without saying. Well, none of us want our kids on that. Psychological abuse, that comes from a teacher standpoint or from a counselor standpoint, I would think, depending on the situation, which could feed right into the racism point. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. The psychological abuse can come from the teachers. It can come from the peers. My son was bullied, which is the core reason for me homeschooling and taking him out of the schools. It just was happening to the point where he changed. He was very angry, very combative, and he was very aggressive. And that's when I had to dig deeper and find out where it's happening, because that was not his nature. That wasn't his character. So yeah, the psychological abuse can very much be happening at the school. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And racism is another one of those things that kind of goes without saying. I mean, I tried to make a little slight joke about it earlier, but you know, but as we know here on this podcast, from the Black perspective, I mean, racism is real. And I mean, if we look at what's going on in the political system, I mean, hey, it ain't hard to tell. You know, the president that we currently have riled up a whole base of people just based around race and separating white people from Black people and enhancing that divide. You know, because if you're checking the political state that we're in right now, we're coming off of a Black president, which can be very debatable on what was or was not done for us while he was in office. We can unpack that another time. But we come from that into a very aggressively racist president. Yeah, absolutely. I warned you before we started. And if you, for all those people who said, no, he's not a racist. Well, if he's not a racist, go back and check what he said and get back with me. I'll continue the podcast while y'all pull up something that displays that he's not a racist. Now, going forward, and this one is really kind of sensitive as well, but I'm going to put it out there as well. Improper and unhealthy sexuality associated with institutional schools. Now, whatever you choose as a grown adult to be is what you choose to be, sexuality speaking wise. Whoever you choose to be with is who you want to be with. If you want to be with a man and you're a man, that's you. If you want to be with a woman, you're a woman, that's you. You know, however, I just don't feel that it's proper and correct for anything to be forced onto our children when they aren't even matured enough to even know themselves. They shouldn't be pushed into one thing or another, and they should have the option to be themselves and grow into be the people they want to be. Now, in that same token, us as parents are required to make sure that we teach our boys how to be men, and ladies are teaching our girls how to be women. And of course, there's a ton we can go through and see. There's a lot of people in the Black community that, you know, that can stray far away from all type of things and morals. However, I just don't feel like it's something that should be pushed onto them, or just let it be known that this is just, oh, well, hey, just go for it. No. No, you shouldn't. You should make sure that that you are being the best person that you can be for you, and not just succumbing to something that's not about, that you're not about.
Absolutely. And that's a subject that I feel really, really strong about, because as Richard mentioned, children don't have they're not mature enough to even decide or make a decision of whether I want to be or not be. I mean, we're born the way we are. And my belief is that men and boys are boys. And I made sure that my kids were very aware of what they were. If we want to put terms, Malachi is a boy, will be a man. Micaiah, you are a girl to grow into a woman. And that's what you are. You're not the opposite. That's not the way this was designed. So, you know, and I do understand things happen. I understand that there's trauma that takes place and causes a different way of thinking about this thing. But you are who you are. And when you now, in these schools, they are now pushing early as first grade that there is no gender. And then some are even saying there are over 100 genders. So we are really in a crisis when it comes to human sexuality developing and knowing and coming into sexuality as children. We are in a we're in a crisis, and I'm not scared to say a war, because now everything is being pushed to this transgender or homosexuality, the LGBTQRS, all this stuff going on, and it's bombarding our social medias, is bombarding commercials, is bombarding music. All these things are happening. Shows now, they have their own network for TV. And so it's constantly in the front of our children who watch and look at a screen all day long. And it's not they're looking for it. It's just there. It pops up in the feeds. It's available to them without even asking for it, looking for it. It's there. I mean, even now these bloggers, even these people that do Vines and these scripts, these skits, associating homosexual tendencies and content. You know, so yes, to some it's maybe a little funny, whatever. But some of it, they may be taking it and maybe, quote, finding themselves, or this is the way I really feel, and they can relate, so they begin to follow that. But I think as parents, we just really need to, it's crazy we have to do this, but reinforce what's natural. And that, to me, is crazy, but we have to do it, because unhealthy sexuality associated in these schools are real, and they're putting it in books now. It's going to be a curriculum. I believe there's a county in Virginia who's already starting to produce books by a major publishing company. Is putting this stuff out. And we may be the pilot state, but they're seeing how they can just implement this type of information to our young children.
And the most important, and one of the other important parts about homeschooling that we're bringing this up, is if you have a certain set of values, which gets right into our next point, teach and impart a particular set of values, beliefs, and worldview to children and youth. Specifically going on what was just said, if you have values and morals, then usually you want the values and morals that you have to be imparted into your children. You want your children to think and believe the things that you believe, the truths that you have held close to you that have gained you the success, or the truths that you've learned that has prevented you from going down these wrong roads and doing crazy things. You want to impart these into your children, and you don't want them to be in a situation where they're in a school where, in order for them to advance to the next grade, they got to take some class that's so against your moral code, but they look at you and like, well, this is just the school. This is the part of the curriculum. This is our curriculum here at this school. Well, we're just here to just bring extra light and let you know that there's another way, and that you don't have to succumb to the current school system. You don't have to feel like it's overwhelming, because it's not. And as we try to go through and put a button in this particular episode, I definitely want to go through and remind you again. Go to and check out, for those of you that want to get more involved with homeschooling, and we'll talk about this a little bit more as well, because because educating our own is very important. make sure that you do go check out www.nbhe.net, the National Black Homeschooling Educators Association, so that once again, we believe in promoting everything from the Black experience over here, because there are good, solid people in our community that do want to help us, that do want to help us out. And we want to, all of us good people that are providing good information and helping the rest of us grow, that's who we want to deal with, and that's who we want to continue to network with and uplift. Any thoughts, final thoughts for this one?
Yep, I do. Also on Facebook, there are a plethora of groups now for African-American homeschoolers. I think that is called one. You can search in the search bar in Facebook for your African-American homeschooling groups. There's a lot of them, and I think some of them have them by state. I know Virginia has one. And there are a lot of people that are connecting that way as well, and from all different states are in these groups. And you can ask the questions, you can get information, you can also find someone maybe that could be right next to you or close to you in your city and state by joining these groups and getting there and getting involved. They give a lot of information, a lot of information. I mean, questions from curriculums, questions from behavior, questions from, you know, not even that, just an area where people can talk about, oh my God, today I didn't do well, we didn't do nothing today. You know, it's okay, but you connected with people and they are a resource to you. They can be a help to you and a network to you. I know one group actually does trips where they go to different states to meet other homeschooling families in the group, which is very, very good. I think it's a very, very good thing. They do a cross-country thing, but they're doing it with homeschooling families that they've met in these groups. And they get together and do things. So Facebook is another way. I'm sure Instagram may have information as well. So get into your social media. Look for African-American homeschooling groups and people and connect.
Absolutely. And this is another episode of the Too Rich to Miss podcast. We will see you again next week. Hopefully the people in the Twitter sphere won't be too upset about this episode. But just wait, you know, just come back next week. I'll get you next week. So in the meantime, this is your host, Richard, and my wife, my co-host, Charisse.
All right. Peace and love, y'all.
All right. It's next time.